Artek, inventors of Zero-G Gait and Balance System. Since 2008, Zero-G has been changing how physical medicine is delivered to patients by getting them involved in intensive therapy earlier and safer.
This is an APTA podcast.
Welcome to Finding My Way, an APTA podcast series exploring the twists and turns of physical therapy careers and the lessons that are learned along the way. I'm Jason Bellamy, APTA's Vice President of Strategic Communications, and for this series, I sat down with 10 physical therapists at National Student Conclave and asked them similar questions to learn what they thought they'd be doing when they were in PT school and what they ended up doing instead. This series is designed for DPT and PTA students, but each episode includes great tips for anyone trying to find their way in their career. In this episode, I talked to APTA President Sharon Dunn, who describes what it's like to watch her LSU students evolve as they prepare for a future that she believes is full of tremendous opportunity. Sitting here at National Student Conclave with the name of someone people definitely recognize, and it's Sharon Dunn. The starting question for everybody is, in 30 seconds or less, describe what you do right now.
Well, I love physical therapy is what I do right now. So I do physical therapy. I do volunteer service as president of APTA, but also teach in an entry-level physical therapy program. And occasionally I get to see patients, which is great fun for me.
And you're APTA president.
Yeah.
Right. So where did you go to school and what did you think you would be doing at the time? How far away was it from what you have done?
I went to LSU Health Sciences Center in Shreveport. And I graduated in 1987 with a bachelor's degree. And I thought that I would be in a clinic practicing outpatient orthopedic physical therapy. That's what I saw as my career path. And I was taken by the academic environment because of the intellectual curiosity that I had. In an academic environment, you can always ask questions, and no question is a stupid question. So I kept being drawn back to the academic environment. I started teaching 3 years out of PT school and thoroughly enjoyed it, loved it, and came back to a full-time job at my alma mater at LSU. Became program chair and then became APTA president and gave up program chair in order to serve as president of APTA. Hadn't regretted a thing I've done in physical therapy. And it's been a lifetime of service and loving what you do and doing what you love.
So you talked about learning that you loved not just the service, but the education part of it. As you come across all these students who come in and out of the program and everything like that, what similarities do you see from their experiences over the years? You know, what is the classic DPT student arc in terms of what they go through preparing to get out there in the world?
I see eyes wide open early in their academic career. They're a sponge. They're trying to learn and assimilate information to make it make sense. And they're in their second year, they've experienced a little bit clinically, and they get to a position where they feel more confident in what they know. And then they go into a long-term clinical internship and realize they don't know anything at that point. So it's a roller coaster for entry-level students of learning, assimilating, putting in practice, and then coming back and learning some more. I've found that confidence and competence are inversely related, and our students that go out on clinical internships, if they're a little bit scared, it's a good sign that they're self-aware enough to know what they don't know. But going into the clinic and getting some positive feedback from patients is a great confidence builder for our students. But it's also the clinical education arena is where the rubber meets the road, and it's where a lot of the practice patterns start. And it's great to have positive experiences in those clinical education environments. So that's it in a nutshell.
How many of your students, just ballpark guess percentage-wise, when you talk to them, say, 5 years later, are doing what they thought they would be doing when they were in PT school?
Ballpark, I would say probably 20% are doing what they thought they would be doing. I had a recent graduate who came to us as an athletic trainer. He worked for the Saints organization, so he assumed when he came into PT school that he was going to do sports, because that was his background, that was his understanding, until he did an internship that was mostly geriatrics, and he fell in love with the geriatric population. So that's his practice environment, and he absolutely loves that population.
So it's funny, I hear that and I can imagine a student listening to this and thinking two things. One, man, what a relief, right? I don't know what I want to do right now and thank God I don't have to figure it out this second. And on the other hand, I could think, how terrifying. I think I know exactly what I want to do and you're telling me there's a very small chance that's actually what my future is. So when you're mentoring students, early career people, whatever, and they're going through this thing, that eyes wide open experience, trying to figure out what the future is for them and kind of caught up in all the anxiousness that naturally goes with that, what advice do you give them?
The best advice that was given to me was the field is so broad that you can't pigeonhole yourself into a single practice setting. And if you're not happy and fulfilled in the practice setting in which you find yourself, you're not stuck there. So you should always go into an environment that you look forward to getting up and going to work. Should feel like play every day. And if it doesn't feel like play, you have to self-assess. But the beauty of physical therapy is you can self-assess and find another environment to practice in. So the advice is, don't treat your job as a job. It's a career, and you're a professional. So go and find a practice environment that is satisfying, because you shouldn't be a physical therapist and dread getting up to go to work every day. You should absolutely love what you do.
So your job shouldn't feel hard, but that doesn't mean it doesn't include hard work. As you look back at the people that you've seen blossom and be successful and really find their niches, do they have commonalities? Is hard work one of them? What when you look at those people that are really those shining examples, do you look at and say they have this through line of common traits? What traits stand out to you?
I think our keynote speaker this morning hit the nail on the head when she said, you don't have to give up one passion to grasp the next passion. So the common thread that I see in these physical therapists that are incredibly successful is that they've identified their passion and that feeds their mission professionally. And yes, they work hard because they're driven. That dream drives passion, which drives hard work, which drives all the rewards that come from doing what you love.
So one of the themes that's come up in these conversations is important of mentors. And that doesn't always mean somebody older. It can mean a peer, just anybody that you lean on. So first of all, do you still have mentors? And who are your mentors now?
I do have mentors. I have mentors that I call at 10:30 at night when I have, you know, I'm ruminating on a professional question or problem. One such mentor is Connie Hauser, who was on APTA's board of directors when I came in. And she just pretty much took me under her wing and would answer any question. No question was a stupid question. My work mentor is Joe McCullough, who's a physical therapist and was program chair when I came into our PT program, and now he's our dean and my boss. And his rule of thumb in our work relationship has been, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. So I've been spoiled in an environment that I could be creative and innovative, and he's given me a lot of long leash to do the things at LSU that we've been able to do, to move to a doctoral level, to start residencies, and to be very creative with interprofessional work with other departments within LSU, to pursue a PhD, and just so many things. So we have a great, fun relationship. I can text him any time of day and let him know what I'm thinking, and I can get a response. And then family are my mentors. My brother is a great mentor. His favorite quote to me is, Sharon, you know, you're successful right now. You're president of APTA, but you're not the president in my house. So he reminds me that the path from the penthouse to the outhouse is a short and well-worn path. That's one of LSU's old coaches' quotes, and it's true. So that keeps me humble, and it's good to have mentors in your life that tell you things you don't want to hear.
So one of the other themes that comes up a lot of times when you talk to students is they understand they need a mentor and they don't know how to find one. Is it that complicated? How are mentors found in your experience, both personally and as you see it happen around you?
Relationships. It's sitting in between meetings at conferences and engaging in relationships and conversations, finding out that we have more in common, that we have that aren't commonalities, and then just sharing life experiences with each other. It shouldn't be some program where you're forced into a relationship. It should be a natural flow of chemistry, like all relationships are, that you want to hang out with that person and they want to hang out with you, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
So part of it, you talked about the importance of sort of being inspired by what you do and everything like that. Right now, when you look as president of APTA or as instructor or just as Sharon Dunn individual PT, when you look out at the profession, what fires you up the most right now? What's most exciting to you right now about the world of physical therapy?
That health delivery is disrupted right now, and there's so many opportunities for people to think in creative ways. We just heard this talk from three women who were on the Student Assembly Board of Directors, and they found cool areas of practice to pursue that do not involve the four walls of a clinic. One is in an interprofessional collegial practice relationship with primary care, working in large corporations. That's amazing. Another is doing a physical therapy inspired Pilates based practice, and another is doing Girl Fit, and that they're pursuing their passions and not waiting on things to drop into their lap. They're going out and making things happen. And in a disrupted environment, there's potential all over the place for us to transform society.
So speaking of not waiting for things to happen, the last question for you is, and you should probably get a chance to do this, if you're talking to a student now about what they should do now to prepare for tomorrow, what should they do now? I'm a PT student now. I want to be successful when I graduate. I want to be successful with my career. Beyond doing well in school, what should I be doing now to prepare for tomorrow?
Connect with people who are doing things you want to do, and you can find them in the American Physical Therapy Association. So going to a conference, a national conference, going to the opportunities you have to interact with other physical therapists, and when you see somebody doing something cool, our profession is so willing to share information, so connect with those individuals that are doing what you see yourself doing in the next 5 years and build a relationship. And it's so easy with technology today to connect with people, whether it's by Twitter, by email, social media connects us all. So I would say the sooner you connect with somebody who's doing something exciting, the more you have opportunity to pursue that.
Sharon Dunn, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Finding My Way. New episodes of this 10-part series will be released each week into 2018. You can find other episodes of this series on iTunes by searching APTA Podcasts or by visiting www.apta.org/findingmyway. Students, we have more resources just for you at the Pulse blog at www.apta.org/pulse. You can also follow APTA's Student Assembly accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at APTASA. If you're enjoying this series, please rate us on iTunes, give us a share on social media, or email us at web@apta.org with feedback and ideas. I'm Jason Bellamy. Thanks for listening.
This is an APTA podcast.